The question is, have I spoken to any of those that I'm not happy? You know, we have what's called leaks today coming out of the White House, and people talk, and the president's not happy about this, and the president's not happy about that, and then the president speaks and said, I never said that. That's just a small picture. People like to talk. They like to presume to know what God wills and what God wants. And here's where we need wisdom, because God is going to make his will plain, even where men err. And he says, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? In all the years, he said, that I've fed the people of Israel, did you ever hear me complain that somehow I'm not happy with this thing? God purposed as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. When thou vowest a vow, there's another thing that preachers like to get people to do. Committee. Walking out, saying a prayer, raising a hand, bowing a vow. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. I've spoken to some over the years that have been troubled in the early years where they were brought to make a vow and then realized they had inadvertently said things they should not have. I don't believe this is written here to scare those, because we know if the Lord has taught us that Christ is dead, he's paid every debt. We are free indeed in him, but this is written to those who think that by their many words they shall be heard of God. So it's like Christ did to the Pharisees. He came down hard on those that said, you know, we still need to keep the law. Okay, let me tell you about the law. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. There's nothing wrong with silence before the Lord. But men will try to get you to speak or say something or commit. They're always poking at you. Aren't you gonna commit? So that your neighbor did, what are you going to do? But it's better not to vow. Christ the righteous one, with whom there's forgiveness of sins. Now his purpose in writing was that they might to their uttermost avoid sinning at all. You see what he says there in verse 1? My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And certainly even as we would care for our own children and desire that they walk in a manner that is upright and stay away from the law. Do things that are going to be honorable. Yet we all have to confess that we're just as guilty as one as the other. I've heard parents say that, you know, when a child gets upset or gets in trouble, they'll say, well, I remember how many times I escaped when I was younger. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. And yet, I believe if the Lord has taught you, your desire is that you sin not. Why? Sin is an offense before a holy God. We're talking about the very character of God himself. And I know when it says here that ye sin not, a lot of people just like to shrug their shoulders and say, well, how can any avoid that? That's impossible. It's just our nature to sin. I know that. But that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse for my sin. I believe the attitude that we have towards sin is really a reflection of the spiritual state of the heart. Are these things light to you? You know, when Brother David read here in the Psalms about the Lord's indignation being toward his people, what was that over? That was over sin. It's not a light matter to God. I believe both rebellion and indifference toward this matter of sin are an indication of spiritual deadness. That's what the scriptures say.